Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It is November 13th, 2023. It is Gigantic Pop number 11 tonight. Talking about the best NES Nintendo games of all time. Talking about WWE moving NXT to the CW, Survivor Series predictions, and more. I'm Glenn Rubenstein, joined by Matt Morgan and Raj Giri. Good to see you guys. Monday Night Raw just ended. It feels like old times.
It does. It does. I agree.
It's been a minute, but yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
How did you do this for so long on the East Coast, Matt, at like 11 o'clock at night on a Monday?
Not wanting to. To be honest,
we had to grease those palms a little extra.
Yeah, right. Hey, at least you're not in your truck, you know, you're inside indoors. It's good. Oh man. I did the Wrestling Inc. podcast alone the other night for NXT. Whoa. Last week.
How?
There was scheduling.
Stop caring.
No. Wrestling Inc. static. If you're watching this, you care. There was just a scheduling mishap. Oh no, Matt, I just talked.
How did you cover it? I'm saying.
I mean, I've done like a radio show before and stuff, but I could always toss to music. I couldn't do that for this. I did 45 minutes where I was like, okay, now we're going to talk about the news. Now we're going to talk about the results. And I leaned on the chat room. The chat room was so supportive. So I was able to put comments there. I was able to interject their opinion. Like it was super weird, but you know, now that I've done it, I could safely say I never want to do that again.
I bet.
That's rough.
Because that never happened.
Yeah. To be fair, you should be paid double for that because you had to do double the work, right?
That is true.
If I showed up to do my job tomorrow and I did somebody else's job for them, I definitely would expect to pay for that person as well.
Well, put that on the invoice, multiply it by two and see what happens.
So in the past, okay, so there happened times before where I think maybe Matt, you had something at the last minute, or maybe Issa or somebody was out, and I like watched the podcast or watched the show, and then I was like, okay, we're just not going to do the podcast. But I think that I was kind of bummed that if I'd known ahead of time, it would have been nice to have a night off. But I was like, I already spent 2 hours watching the show, spending 45 minutes talking about it now, like, is not that bad, you know?
Yeah,
like the time was already sunk, so
yeah.
It is what it is, but no, it's good to be with you guys. Do we want to talk about NXT going to CW before we dive into some Nintendo stuff? Start off with that.
Meh.
Sounds fine to me. I think the biggest takeaway with NXT going to CW is NWA and how that affects them, because that was rumored to be their TV deal. Now, Mike Johnson, a PW Insider, he's basically reported that there was never really any solid reporting that NWA was going to CW. It seemed like it was more speculation, but I don't know where this leaves NWA, you know, because if you look at the landscape of television right now, who else do they got?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Women of Wrestling is like first run syndication, right?
Yep. Syndication. And outside of that, you know, you look at the top players, you got TNT, which, you know, is already taken, NBCU taken, Fox taken for now. It kind of leaves very few options for the NWA it's tough. It's really tough to be number two when you have a strong number one. It's way tougher to be number three or number four. And that's kind of where NWA kind of finds itself right now. And it's a tough one.
So hang on, I'm confused. I thought he said he was going to be on two networks.
That's what he said. Well, he said they had two TV deals. Now, I think one was the reality show, which is And that still might happen on CW. But as far as the other, as far as actual NWA, I just don't, it's not looking, there's no way it's going to be on with WWE.
So here's what I'm predicting. I'm predicting that it probably was in the works. They probably was talked about. And last second, the WWE decided, you know, I had a feeling WWE was probably going to think they were going to resign again or go somewhere else possibly with NXT. And it turned out, you know, CW had the best offer or whatever the hell you want to call it. And because of that, now NWA is out, in my opinion.
That's kind of what it looks like.
I mean, maybe it was real, maybe not. I mean, I think, you know,
it could have been. It could have been a legitimate offer or whatever you want to call it, a deal. WWE, which I'm sure CW did not know, was going to say, hey, by the way, you know, we're not re-signing with, we're not coming back to, you know, USA or whatever. We can come on your network.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the one thing with TV, right? Until it's signed and delivered, it's,
you don't know.
It's never, you just don't know.
You got to think for Billy Corgan right now, this has got to be so strange because Tony Khan has all this attention on him for better or worse. Everyone wants to see what AEW is going to do. WWE, like, can't lose. Too big to fail. The definition of, do they just have so much momentum with the Endeavor thing? And if, as if that wasn't enough for Billy Corgan, OVW, like, is having amazing boom period due to Netflix, where every show is selling out every week. The hottest, probably it's been certainly since the WWE relationship stopped. And it's like NWA just can't catch a break.
You're right. COVID hurt them really badly.
Yeah, they had some nice momentum at the start. And I'm surprised they've never merged with Impact. That actually seems like the potentially logical move, or TNA.
Oh, they kind of got burned by Impact.
Yeah.
Billy Corgan lent.
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying Billy Corgan lent them that money. Remember at the end there? And then they kind of screwed Billy Corgan out of that deal. But
when he was working with Impact, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, also, they're two different shows. Those are two completely different contexts. NWA world is old school throwback, right? And Impact is, I don't know. Mm. I haven't seen it in a while.
Yeah. I mean, I always hear good stuff about Impact, and people seem very excited about the TNA revival.
I honestly, I hear the same thing on Twitter and random places. Yeah,
I mean, Impact's been good quality wise. It's just that there is so much wrestling on TV right now that you know, between WWE and AEW, if you include NXT, what is that, like 12 hours of wrestling a week between the two shows? So it just makes it tough to create demand for a third brand when you have that much.
I
give Impact credit, and Matt, you certainly, I mean, you were back there briefly a few years ago, but it seems like they figured out, due to their parent company and however much money they make them, they don't overspend. They make the most of what they have. And, you know, to their credit, like, they're still going strong. They still do decent live numbers wherever they go. And people speak well of them. They, I think it's funny that they haven't benefited more from this boom period, but it's not like the Impact of old where it's like, oh, we don't know how they're doing with money, what's going to happen. They've got it dialed in now, it seems like, to sustain.
I do hope so.
Yeah.
I just don't know. You know, I think it takes, I feel like they feel like AEW light right now. They have good matches and everything, but you see good matches all over the place right now. So until you have something that differentiates yourself from the competition, it's just going to be a rough go. And I kind of feel like that's where they're at right now.
And ironically, it's NWA that's the only show that I've seen that has any kind of different feel to it to the others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, AEW feels different from WWE, but...
Yes. Yes.
Right.
But still, so formatting goes, way the picture itself looks, as weird as that may sound, all of it is just so much different when I watched anything from NWA.
Right.
It just seems so hard to make time for another wrestling show right now.
And especially, they have no stars. They lost LA Knight. They lost James Storm. You know, like, those guys were just great. You know, Nick Aldis, they were just great promos. They really... made you want to watch that show. And I mean, who do they got right now?
Yeah.
Weird, but the CW, NXT, that's going to be different. No more overruns. And I wonder what it's going to do on the ratings, because right now, most West Coast fans have a variety of legal ways to watch the East Coast airing of NXT, but on the CW, that's not going to be easily possible.
I'm just going to be honest. CW is still a big network. Are they still, do they have actual shows on there that people are watching nowadays or no?
No.
They had all the DC stuff. I mean, I think they still have Superman. Mm,
that's right. And Flash.
Yeah.
Riverdale Flash back in the day.
Riverdale. Arrow. I mean, Riverdale just ended.
Did it really?
Yeah. Riverdale, the Archie series. It was all like Supernatural. It's supposedly
good.
Actually
a good show. I watched the first couple seasons. It was.
Did you say it was a Supernatural?
Yeah, they incorporated. They did like a lot of crazy. Well, shit.
I'm gonna watch it. I'm gonna watch it tonight.
Okay. But yeah, it's not the Archie comics of our youth. It's a different.
No, it's Narc.
Okay. Yeah. Glenn, I think one more thing.
Where can I watch that on my phone?
It's got to be streaming somewhere, right?
I think it's on Netflix.
Yeah, it's probably on Netflix.
Okay. I'll just.
It's one. I think that's where I watched it. It was one of those. I don't know if it's still on.
Thanks.
Yeah. So we'll see. I mean, CW, but hey, good. WWE got that money. WWE stock is still down. I think
TKO.
TKO. Sorry. The Raw rights numbers are probably going to be the big determining factor for the trajectory of the future. This is not financial advice.
it'll be interesting because right now you look at where TNT, TBS, because with AEW, if WBD does try to make an offer for WWE, which, you know, they are apparently in the picture, that would be disastrous for pro wrestling, in my opinion. You know,
if what?
So there have been reports that WBD is interested in WWE, like they've had
WBD
talks.
Warner Brothers Discovery,
TNT, TBS, and so the rights fees are up next year. So if they drop AEW and go to WWE, that doesn't leave many options for AEW, really, outside of FS1 is like the only realistic one.
Yeah, and they'll go the way of TNA. I mean, no disrespect to them today, but when you know, right after I left, going from Spike to some other network that was lesser, another network after that was even lesser than that, and these next networks I never heard of a day in my life.
Yeah, Pop TV, I don't think I ever, that was Pop was the first one, I think, right? I believe so.
I remember I retired and came back like 3 years later and wrestled a pay-per-view. So Jackson could see me wrestle live. And I think I remember like them, hey, make sure you tweet out. And like Pop was like the at I had to put in there. So I think you're right.
Yeah. And it's weird because Pop took off. Pop had the US rights to Schitt's Creek, a huge comedy.
Yeah.
I know what that is. And that like took off, but wrestling didn't work. Yeah. So what I want to know, Matt, about the Spike TV years, like, did you get to go to the upfronts? Did you get to do any cross promotion with like Blade the series or anything?
No, Blade the series, but I got to do upfronts for him. Yeah,
that's nice. It's fun.
I was their main. That sounds arrogant, but whenever I tell people, like, listen, I was on the road 4 to 5 days every week for just about 12 and a half years straight. They're like, come on, we were TNA. You went on the road 4 days a week. You guys only did 2 house shows and 1 TV. No. I would, because I was a PR guy. So I would go to the town before we would get there, or in advance if it was like a big pay-per-view down the road later that month. And I'd stay there a day afterwards as well to do more, or be flown to where we're going to be going the following week, and do all their PR for them. Ironically, do things like I'm doing now as a mayor or commissioner in my city now in Longwood. But like doing things like that, ribbon cuttings I've done with on behalf of TNA. I swear to God, I even gave a championship belt to a mayor somewhere in Arkansas. Just random places.
It's funny, Matt. In the like 7 years I've known you, I know you have a degree in communications. Mm. We have never talked about you doing PR work for TNA, which is crazy to me as someone who's worked in public relations and marketing. Like, and consulted for that and worked on that for so much of my life. I don't know why I never put that together with your degree.
I like doing it. I like being the dependent on. I like the fact that they know that they could depend on me, rather.
Yeah. And that's the interesting thing about
marketing. And you stand out too, you know, like it's a smart tool to use.
That's it. So if you're not watching wrestling and you see a 7 foot 300 pound guy walk in with the back down with a big long beard, you know what I mean? You're gonna stick out, right? So like, oh, that guy looks like a wrestler. You know what I mean? Yeah. To like somebody who doesn't watch wrestling ever, and it's meeting.
And then you're also, and you're also well spoken and everything else. So it, you know, like it, it made total sense for them to use
Mike. I was Mike Weber's idea, and then got stuck with that for about 5 years straight with them.
You're doing all the morning TV and local radio.
I did like it though. I love promoting that company because I really did love working there. I did.
Yeah, no, that's awesome, man. I mean, I think, and people don't realize that actually, that's one thing I like about the OVW show, the wrestlers on Netflix, at least that shows. I mean, I used to do concert promotion back in the 90s. Like, it shows everything that goes in to spreading the word to get people to actually show up for something. It's not as easy as you just buy an ad, or nowadays, oh, you send out tweets and you do stuff on Facebook. It's evolved, but there's still a lot of work that goes into promoting live events.
Yeah, and OVW is still doing the flyers on windshields that we did. I remember when we were there.
God, I never want to put up a flyer again in my life. I've gone through easily 200 staple guns in my life. Because they always break or you always lose them. But
that show was great. We should cover it one of these weeks.
Wrestlers? Oh, that was so good. Yeah, good. So good. It's interesting. We haven't heard a follow-up, though. Hollywood Haley J had that tryout with WWE. She was not medically cleared.
She had a dark match with AEW.
Oh, she, recently?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
After the show aired.
Yeah. And, I think she'd be great in NXT, you know?
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, but we'll see. So let's talk a little bit this week. Let's take a hard turn. Goes a little back to my past, but let's talk about the NES, the Nintendo Entertainment System. These kids these days, they know the Mario Kart, they know the Switch, but they've never blown into a cartridge to try and get a broken game to work. They've never sat there and just literally mashed on the buttons with the plastic. They've never sit there and told their younger sibling when they were playing a two-player game, hey, if you fall off this cliff in Mario, it takes you to a secret world, and then they die, so it's your turn. They don't know.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, that was my big move as a child to troll my brothers.
When you buy your Nintendo, what game did that come with?
I had the combo. Oh, Matt, you first.
I had the big one. I had stupid Gyromite.
Gyromite and Duck Hunt.
and Rob, the robot I never used, but Duck Hunt. I love Duck Hunt. It was my second favorite game when it first came out.
Wow. Yeah, I had the one just with the Zapper, Duck Hunt, and the Mario Brothers, but not the one it was on the same cartridge, which later happened.
Mm. Sorry. Broncos win. Sorry. I'm turning this off, but yes. All right.
They scored right there at the end? They scored it?
They got the field goal right at the end.
Good. I had the field goal kicker on my fantasy team. Sorry.
Bigfoot Sneaker had saying the best NES game is the Super Mario Duck Hunt combo, and using that gun was amazing.
It was.
I loved it.
Hogan's Alley. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Which one did you get, Raj, of the
it was Gyromite and Duck Hunt.
Damn.
And Gyromite, I can't even remember what that game was.
Well, Glenn, if you remember, this was the expensive one.
That was the $150 to $199 one.
Yep.
I know about it. That was on my list for Christmas. And my mom was
spoiled brat. I feel bad now because she paid an extra $50 for that stupid robot I never used.
I mean, if you had it unopened, do you know how much that'd be worth if you had the entire system never touched? I mean, like, unopened copies of Mario are going for like five and six figures. Like it's crazy, right? I mean, granted, it's a bubble. It's probably already bursting, but yeah, man. I mean, the robot one, like, that was huge. That was before you could just get the system with Mario or the bare bone system.
Did it? What other games did that robot work for?
I don't remember.
I think that was it. Like, I only remember it for that game, and that was kind of it.
But dude, I mean, come on. We had Akari. So Akari Warriors was the Contra before Contra. I loved Akari Warriors when that first came out. And in retrospect, I went and looked it up online. I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe I thought these graphics were good when they first came out.
So I told you guys, like, I was in Nintendo Power. Like,
yes.
I was listed high score for Contra. They had a max score of like 999999. And so what happened was, I had the fire gun, and the timing worked out. There was one level where if there's these rocks that just keep falling, and every time you shoot the rock, your points keep going up. And so I just put my chair on the controller, left it on overnight, and in the morning, I didn't even know there was a maximum score, but woke up in the morning, had the maximum score. We had a Polaroid, took it, sent it in, boom, I was in Nintendo Power.
I'm very impressed by that. Very impressed, especially as a kid.
Yeah, yeah. Game, wow. Game the system.
You did, but Metroid. Oh God, how many Double Dragon?
Kid Icarus.
Well, I mean, Double Dragon though. Remember the arcade game Double Dragon? That remember when the NES version came out? And it was like
I do. How about this? How about this? You guys remember Russian Attack? But we always would pronounce it incorrect. It was Rush. R S H dash N dash Attack.
Right.
Yeah. And we would say it like Russian Attack, like the Russians are attacking.
Oh, or Rampage. You guys ever play Rampage?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That was the problem, though. So for me, I mean, when we get to the tail end of Nintendo, my frustration was that you would play these arcade games and you'd love the game. And then the NES version, like Marble Madness, would come out. And you're like, oh,
except
this is bad.
Except one. And that was Mike Tyson's Punch Out, which was better than the arcade and normal Punch Out. The normal not Punch Out.
Yeah, they did it. They made it a much. They made it a better game.
Because you had the little Mac in Mike Tyson's Punch Out, whereas the arcade version, you were still the same size. It was a green
invisible whatever.
Right.
Arcade games way harder. I've never beat the arcade game.
I did, but it was harder. I agree, but not wait. No, it
Mr.
wasn't.
Mr. Sandman was the last.
Yeah, dude. If you know, no, he wasn't. It was Super Macho Man. I thought was second to last. It was the last. No.
Was it Sandman or Macho Man?
No, Sandman was like one of the last 2 to 3 bosses. Okay. Yeah, I could have won a Super Macho Man.
Yeah.
Come on.
The thing, here's the thing about the arcade Punch-Out is that the patterns, at least when it first came out, because remember also, they had standalone games and they had the Play Choice 10 games that had all the different ones in it that you could choose, and it was one. But I don't remember people know, I didn't know the patterns for the original Punch-Out when that came out, which is
what
why
do you mean
I
by that? The patterns?
Like Ball Bowl when you got
King Hippo, remember? King Hippo, I didn't know the game.
You had a punch in the belly and then two uppercuts.
Would you, the first time you did that with King Hippo, when you punch him in the gut and his pants fall down, could you not wait to like show your parents? It's like, look at this, Dad. I thought that was like the coolest thing.
It was cool. I remember Ball Bull, they have two versions because he comes back later and he's just hard as hell to beat and can't beat
him. Hit him with that gut, you hit him with that gut shy as he charges you, right?
Yeah, you have to time it perfectly to dodge. Because the other way, it's an automatic knockout. It's not. It doesn't even weaken you. It just knocks you out and hits you.
Okay, so it's Glass Joe, Piston Hurricane, Bald Bull, Kid Quick, Pizza Pasta. That's Kid culturally Quick. Sensitive.
This must be later.
That's later. That's not Mike Tyson.
This isn't the NES.
No, not Mike Tyson. No. I'm saying the arcade version.
All right. Oh, okay, gotcha.
So Mr. Sandman is the big bad in the arcade version.
Okay.
Boom.
Though, find out for who was that on.
Television. Oh yeah. That's. Easier. Mike Tyson.
If I don't remember that.
Punch out.
So Tyson's Punch Out, it was Super Macho Man was the last, and then you got Tyson.
Yeah.
Who was Mr. Sandman second to the last?
Okay.
Sandman, Super Macho Man.
Here we go. I got it right here. Yeah, Glass Joe, Piston Hurricane, Bald Bull.
Kaiser. Oh. Von Kaiser.
Well, hold on, I'm getting there. Kid Quick. Wait, why is Kid Quick? No, sorry. Okay, sorry. No, why is this in the wrong order? Mike Tyson. Sorry, Von Kaiser. You're right. Why? Okay, this order is terrible on this.
Yeah.
Von Kaiser, Piston Honda, Don Flamenco, King Hippo, then Mike Tyson, who was replaced by Mr.
Whoa. Dream. We there was Great Tiger. There was a ton of other people.
Mid-Carter.
I know this is super. Wikipedia has this super out of order. Hold on. Okay. I mean, look. I'm gonna find this.
It was Glass Joe, Don Flamenco, Ball Bull.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh,
it was Glass Joe, Von Kaiser. Von Kaiser was 2 or 3.
Yeah. But regardless.
This is an important conversation.
And this is critical. Because Raj, if your memory of this goes, like, it's all over.
I know. What's
true.
Here we go. Glass Joe, Von Kaiser, Matt was right. Piston Honda, Don Flamenco, King Hippo, Great Tiger, Bald Bull, Piston Honda again, Soda Popinski, Bald Bull again. Don Flamenco again, Mr. Sandman, Super Macho Man, and Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
I thought there was two Bald Bulls. Am I making that up?
No, there was.
All right. He's number 7 and number 10.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. The second one's tough. The second one's tough because he knocks you out right away.
Yeah. What games do you guys like?
Metroid was probably Metroid blew my mind because how you could walk in the wall and like find hidden areas and like warp through things. Like I probably spent 80 hours on the game just trying to find stuff.
Yep.
And explore like that. I mean, like honestly, like that was a game that just like opened my imagination to what a video game could be.
Good job, Vincent R.
Yes, Vincent R remembers it.
Well, with Metroid, that was my first game that Nintendo Power of the Magazine influenced me enough to go buy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Metroid was awesome.
That and Kid Icarus came out like the same day. Yeah, so I remember. It did. Yeah. And I had
Kid Icarus. I still know the theme song to Kid Icarus. Anyway.
But Legend of Zelda though, I mean the original Super Mario Brothers is great, but Legend of Zelda was also the one where it was just like this. I think that's what made me want the system because it was like here's something you can only play at home. It's not an arcade game.
That's a great game. Such an amazing game. So like do people talk about that and give it the credit it deserves?
First Zelda, like,
the first real, if you really want to break it down and be nerdy about it, do people at least give it credit? Like, hey, this is kind of sort of the first open world game ever.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely the first role-playing game in the U.S. There were role-playing games in, for a console system, like of that was like as we know it, right? Where it was deep. Do you guys remember that when you would call the Nintendo hotline, they wouldn't always tell you the answer. They would give you weird cryptic clues to things. And it would be like, I'm trying to find the entrance to this dungeon. And they're like, have you tried laying bombs around rock structures? And
they all did that back then. Yes. Man. It was such a
they wanted you to figure it out on your own. What was a free call? It was long distance. You didn't have to. Actually, originally it was an 800 number. I used to call it, what was it? 1-800-242-2602? Let me look at it. Is that right? No.
I do remember the WWF hotline back the night SummerSlam 88 happened. Yeah. And I called the hotline. You have to sit through 20 minutes, right? Before they get to the main event. And then at the end, they're like, if you want to know what Miss Elizabeth's secret weapon was, call this number. And you had to call another number. Call that. Then you got to sit through another 20 minutes. It was my parents, when they got the phone bill, it was like $150.
The funny thing about the Nintendo one, originally it was a customer service line that was supposed to help you, like, how do I hook this up to my TV? And people would call it and ask for advice for games. So yeah, it was 1-800-422-2602. And then because it was an 800 number, they were like, okay, this is still going to be free, but we can't pay for it because they had to pay for the 800 number minutes. So then they changed it to 206-885-7529. But then you had to call long distance to call and talk to somebody to help you get through the game. And I would do that all the time. I would ask about like games that were coming out. Like I was just so, I remember being in junior high at school on the payphone calling the 800 number and just like talking to the game counselors being like, how do you get a job at Nintendo? I want to make video games.
Oh yeah.
Did you ever beat a game the weekend you got it?
Yes. Yeah.
I want to say because that Contra code came out very, 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 very quickly.
Yeah.
We beat it, believe it or not, the first time I beat it was with two players.
It's easier with two players.
But anyways, the answer is yes. But guys, like, think about back in the 80s, like, when this first came out, this was, like, the biggest Christmas gift you could possibly get or a birthday gift.
Oh, yeah.
And the same year, like, every kid just about, not every kid, but within those 2 years of it first coming out and then its following year, let's say, I'd say just about every kid in America got this thing.
Oh, yeah.
No. And you didn't have the same kind of choice. I mean, right now, PS5 is still like the dominant gaming system right now, right?
Yes, it is.
More than Switch or anything else.
My opinion, yes.
Yeah. It has, I don't think it's outsold here. Let me see. Top US consoles. Let's see what the current numbers are at.
Oh, I don't know about numbers. I just know about
games. And it's definitely the most in demand.
By far.
Yeah, well, I mean, dude, it's like I was able to get a new Xbox a year before I was able to find a PS5.
Yeah.
Like I had to do, this is the crazy thing about consoles now. I mean, Nintendo was a little hard to find maybe early on, but it's like, dude, if you want to find a PS5, you're going to those websites that hit refresh on like all the sites and send you a text alert, like when something's available. It's kind of ridiculous now what you have to do to get one. But, the Switch is, okay, so the most popular game console of all time is the PlayStation 2 with 155 million sold. The Switch is at 132 million. That's actually kind of crazy.
It is.
But the PS4 is at 117. So if you combine the PS4 and PS5, and which makes sense, that's the biggest because the PS4 is at 117.
Xbox ain't nowhere on there, huh?
Xbox, the 360. The Wii's at 101 million.
What's NES? I mean,
hang on, Xbox 360.
Xbox 360 is at 84 million. The Xbox One, the current one, is 58 million.
Wow.
The current one's actually 21. So Xbox One was the one before that. But yeah, let's just look up the NES just out of curiosity.
The original.
It was Nintendo? A different time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you guys call it NES? I don't ever recall calling it NES.
I did, but I worked in the video game.
Oh, of course you did. Yeah. That's Glenn's snobbery. He's thumbing his nose down at us, folks.
I could be worse.
When Glenn gets off the show tonight, he's like, "Oh God, hon, it was horrible." Oh, you can imagine my chagrin when I sit there and talk about bald bull with Matt and Raj for 2 hours. They know.
I could have been worse. I could have been, well, if you want to talk about the original Famicom, you know, from, that's the Japanese name. The NES / Famicom is 61 million combined worldwide.
Really? So, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey,
what about Neo Geo? If you were really cool, Glenn, you should know what that was.
I had a Neo Geo. They sent me one and I loaned it to my friend Jeff Gerstmann, who I now do a video game nostalgia podcast with, and he fucking sold it and he never gave it back to me. I was pissed.
He sold you. That system was way ahead of its time. Baseball Star. There's so many cool things on that.
Yeah, it was like a $500 system with $200 cartridges.
Never be able to afford it. I'm just saying my friend Yanni had my best friend Yanni had it, and I would always go there to play it.
Yeah,
I've never played it. Yeah.
The thing with the Neo Geo is it was the exact same guts as the arcade system. This wasn't a port of the game. It was exactly what you played in the arcade.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
You remember Baseball Stars? What was Baseball Stars on that? What was Baseball Stars on?
I believe Baseball Stars was on that.
Yeah. Sandra Oh, the Japanese home run king. Anytime he gets up the bat, hits a home run. How about, hey guys, for Nintendo, RBI Baseball. Did you guys get into that at all?
I mean, that was the first great baseball game on the NES.
Never played baseball.
That was my favorite game for quite a long time.
Oh, because before
that. Play Double Dribble. Did you guys play Double Dribble?
I love Double Dribble. Yeah.
I mean, the spiritual, sibling of Blades of Steel, the hockey game. Like, Konami had a bunch of those. That was good.
Yes, Konami. Was awesome. So when I went to Japan for the first time, wrestling for New Japan, we passed by Konami. I almost freaking had, like, a heart attack on the tour bus there. Like, what? Like, Konami. Like, I used to play all their games when I was a kid. And they're like,
huh? Yes, Bigfoot Seeker and Mega Man, so underrated. I mean, Mega Man's still going. There's like Mega Man kart racing games. Like Mega Man is like they've reinvented that a bunch of times. It's just a great idea that you steal the powers of the bosses you defeat. And yes. I mean, Mega Man, yeah, that
great idea.
Those, so with Nintendo, the interesting thing about the Nintendo Entertainment System is, okay, so you have the first party games. And first party means Nintendo made the game, which is your Mario Brothers, Zelda, Punch Out.
Oh, Excitebike.
Yes, Excitebike, RC Pro-Am. Those are Nintendo made games.
Yeah.
Those are usually
Rad Racer.
Great. Rad Racer was a, we beat it the weekend we got it. I was disappointed with that because Rad Racer was pretty easy. But then you had your third-party games, and of those, like anything by Konami, like Contra, Double Dribble, Goonies 2, Castlevania, like those were all solid games.
Love both those. Goonies 2 was awesome. Goonies was awesome, so was Castlevania.
And Metroid was Konami, right?
No, Metroid was Nintendo.
Was it? Okay.
Yeah.
Surprisingly, yes.
Yeah, Capcom did Mega Man. Back before Street Fighter, Capcom was known for Mega Man and a lot of decent arcade ports like 1941, things like that. But then the problem with Nintendo, though, was then, I mean, I'll just call them out by name, like when LJN started making games, like those really shitty licensed games, like Friday the 13th, Nightmare on Elm Street. gotcha based on the paintball game. Like, they had a lot of shitty third-party games. Like, that's what, in my mind...
I forgot LJN made video games with the rainbow around it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But before you could rent games, that was the problem, is you'd buy something like that, and you were like, this sucks. Like, TNC Surf Designs. It's like, oh, there's a surfing level and a skating level. And I was like, yeah, this game isn't that great.
The surfing was impossible to do, if you remember.
Did you guys ever play WrestleMania by Acclaimed?
Oh yeah,
yeah. God, I did.
That was the worst pro wrestling game I think ever made. It was like ET on Atari. It was just, I mean, pro wrestling was awesome. Well,
pro wrestling, King Slender and King Amazon, yes.
Starman, yeah, that was awesome. Starman. That was one of the best. Yeah.
The backward drop.
Yeah, but to your point, Glenn, like when you didn't get to try it out, so when WWF had WrestleMania come out on Acclaimed, I bought it, and it was just clunky, terrible. It just felt like it was a beta release.
Acclaimed game, and that's Wizards and Warriors. Like, because I'm looking at list, and a lot of these, I mean, they did the port of Winter Games. They had WWF, they had a Knight Rider game, they had the Double Dragon 2 arcade port, they had NARC, which was a shitty port of the arcade game, Bigfoot. Yeah, there was a lot of bad stuff, but it was funny, as Acclaim later, for future systems, they paired up with Midway, who made Mortal Kombat and NBA Jam, and they would do the home versions of those, which were good. But yeah, like, bad third parties is what burned me out as a game player, and that's why I started renting games, because it was just, you never knew if you were getting something good. You know, Nintendo Power put everything over, because that was Nintendo's official magazine.
Yeah,
you're not going to say this game sucked.
Yeah, it wasn't until Game Pro came out and Electronic Gaming Monthly, that you had, and then when I started reviewing video games professionally for the San Francisco Examiner. But you needed people to tell you that, because you didn't want to spend $50 or $60 on a cartridge that, you know, you were going to want to return or, you know, stop playing after a day. That was a big deal back then. The weird thing is, games now are actually, it's kind of weird how games have stayed roughly the same price given all the other inflationary concerns. New games are still like $60.
Yeah.
But
I remember buying Pitfall on Atari 2600. That was like $70 back.
It's crazy. So crazy.
That, my opinion, was the first great game. Like the original Atari,
Yeah. Pitfall was good. But with the Nintendo, though, I think Zelda definitely all-time classic. I mean, if I just say the top three NES games, and it's like, this is so easy. It's just like Mario, Metroid, and Zelda. And I'd probably go Zelda, Metroid, Mario if I had to pick.
Go ahead, Raj.
Good, Matt. Mm-hmm. I was going to say Punch-Out, Pro Wrestling. What's that number three? Punch-Out, Pro Wrestling, and Super Mario.
Yeah, all Nintendo first party titles.
Yeah. So mine would have been mix of both of yours, Super Mario, Mike Tyson's Punch-Out, definitely Zelda. Zelda's my number one, but Mario should be number one, obviously. But Glenn, what I was going to ask you was what ended up, they just started all just growing, right? They just had, like, not like them, 8-bit. Remember that commercial? Was that Sega?
Yes. Genesis does what Nintendo don't.
That's right. And I got suckered into that and got it. And it was all right, but, like, those games were so bad. Like, the brand games, the Sega's, games like that came with it were horrible.
Well, at first, you were getting with Altered Beast, which was great for, like, an afternoon.
I have the same feeling I had when I got Super Mario Brothers, and we're all running each other's house playing it like crazy.
I remember what got me to buy a Genesis, and actually I sold a bunch of Nintendo games through the newspaper, and that's how I bought my Genesis. What I wanted to play is, I wanted to play Golden Axe at home, like, because that was a
fantastic game.
Yeah, although again, it was an arcade game, so you could beat that in an afternoon. It wasn't Phantasy Star 2 was my first deep experience on the Genesis, because that game takes you like 60 hours to get through. And it's very well done. So it's still a really good game. I replayed it last year. With the Genesis, once they got Sonic the Hedgehog, once they got EA Sports,
that was cool.
Yeah. Once they had Street Fighter, like a really good version of Street Fighter, Mortal Kombat with the blood.
Lakers versus Celtics in the NBA playoffs.
That was early. That was an early EA game. That was even before the NBA series. But Genesis, again, the problem was third party, and their first party games weren't as strong as Nintendo's, because with the SNES, Nintendo kind of stumbled out the gate and Genesis really stole their thunder. You remember they were like, oh, Sonic is a super fast, cool game, and Super Mario World is slow, and it's for kids.
Ninja Gaiden was really
good. I forgot Ninja Gaiden. I'm changing my answer to
really
Punch Ninja Out Ninja Pro Ninja Wrestling Ninja. And Ninja Gaiden. Was awesome. It was like a movie when you started. It was like really advanced.
No, my favorite third-party games for the NES, though, to go back to that, I think Ninja Gaiden, Bionic Commando, and the original Metal Gear.
I forget that. Why am I forgetting that?
Yeah. Original Metal Gear was a deep game. Bionic Commando, you had the robotic arm, so you could swing from things. You could like shoot your grappling hook.
This was on NES or Super NES?
Yeah, no, Bionic Commando was NES.
Wow. Okay.
So it was the first Metal Gear. And the first Metal Gear, there were passcode. Like you had to like figure out the passcode off like a guard and then use that to get past things. Like it was a deep game.
On the normal NES?
On the first Metal Gear, yes.
Wow. I feel like I would have played that. That's wild.
Yeah, it's good. It's a good game.
All right, real quick. Yeah. You're super. I know you're running the show here, but like,
no.
Your favorite Super Mario Brothers game.
So the first one is still really solid. You know, Super Mario 2 in the US is different than Super Mario 2 in Japan. Super Mario 2 in Japan looks exactly like the first one, except it's way more difficult. It has different levels, but it's the same style. So for the US, they were like, audiences are going to want something different. So there was a game in Japan that was called like Arabian Nights or something. And that's why there's all the sand in it and whatnot. So they basically just changed the characters to Mario characters for Super Mario Brothers 2 in the US, which is still a good game. I still like that game quite a bit. And then 3, though, I think 3 was overrated. Sorry, what were you going to say?
Who did you use most on Super Mario 2? I always used the princess because she could fly.
Yeah. Princess was good, or I would just be a Mario originalist.
I actually thought 3 was the best. 3 was 3
was too complicated for me.
Yeah. I do remember being a little complicated. I do that. I remember that part.
Yeah. Now there's like 15 buttons you got to use when you play these games. It's
you get
these kids these days with all their buttons.
Listen, brother, I was intimidated picking up my first like PlayStation remote, and with the 55,000 things I thought I'd have to press. But you get it. Once you get a game, you really get your teeth sunk into. You'll figure it out.
Yeah. But you can play. So if you buy Matt, they have this available on the Switch. It's called Super Mario All-Stars. It's got all the original Mario games, and they even did some remasters of them. So they look better, but it's got what they call Super Mario, the Lost Levels. That's the Japanese Super Mario 2.
So I'm such a loser. I saw a kid playing it on YouTube and I watched it. What a freaking loser I am. What a loser. I'm supposed to be running a city. I have a job. And then I have a job on top of that.
Dude, here's the thing. I hosted... Matt, 10 years ago, I worked at a tech network. And they originally hired me to do a show about video games. But I wasn't really playing games as much then. So I was like, but sure, I wanted to get back in the game. So literally, so I did it. And then they switched it to a show where we would all play games like late at night in this studio, and we'd play like Street Fighter against each other and make bets. Like if you lose, I'm going to shave your head, stuff like that. The funny thing is they canceled the show because we had good, but not great ratings. And I kid you not, man, this was like 6 months right before Twitch launched. And there became an audience for just watching people play games.
Yeah.
So it's funny that I did this for like 3 months and had an amazing time just getting paid to hang out with a bunch of guys and like play NBA Jam against each other and stuff. And then, like now you can make millions of dollars just having people watch you play a game.
Yep. 100%.
It is so weird when you see people just going on Twitch and watching other people play games.
But our kids in this generation, they love, that's their thing. They love watching. Yeah. Their dream is to be that guy with all these people watching them. Mm-hmm. Play a video game.
Yeah. But I mean, it makes sense, right? Because Matt, like you were talking about, how many times now that we're grown adults with jobs and responsibilities, like I don't just want to know how to do something in a game. Sometimes it's just like, I don't have time to unlock this. I'm just going to go watch somebody show me this little scene.
So
or I think I want to see.
So let me ask you that. Because I got that from those Lost Levels mm-hmm. edition that you're talking about in Japan. I'm being dead serious. I really did watch a YouTube yeah. video playing it for like an hour. I swear yeah. to you, one weekend. And I had to know what it was.
Yeah.
I'm not the one playing it. So Matt, why would you want to watch it? Because there's still some satisfaction that I got out of being able to say, okay, at least now I know what that was and yeah. everything about it without me having to go through it.
No, it's fun. And, but it's kind of weird too, though, because when you think about GameFAQs or the sites that tell you how to do stuff for Nintendo Power back in the day,
come out. GameFAQs, FAQs is still out.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's the thing.
I remember that.
Yeah. But when you think about it, like, it's not that different. If I'm going to read a walkthrough that tells me exactly how to play this game, like, why don't I just cut out the middleman and watch somebody else do the thing rather than me have to like buy the game, read the guide, spend the time. Like it is kind of an ultimate shortcut. But we did that as kids though. Cause how many times with the NES would you have the one friend that was amazing at games and you would just watch them play because they would get you to the next level. They would show you how to beat it. It was just easier, you know?
That's true. That's true. So my brother
especially a game like Punch Out where you see like where you die.
That's what I was just gonna say. Exact example I was gonna use. Yeah.
Oh geez. Oh, so Tom McCloskey, this takes me back, saying I wish YouTube existed when I couldn't clear Miner 2049er. That's a game for the Atari 2600, Atari 800, 400. That's the first game that my family ever got hooked on back when I was a little kid, and none of us could beat it to this day. I got an emulator and I was playing it. I still can't beat the last level. Like that game is tough. And it's a platform game where you're just walking around. So you're in a mine and it's literally like Donkey Kong, you know, the way the levels are set up. And you're just trying, every time you walk over an area, it fills up the blank space. So what you essentially have to do is avoid monsters and just cover every inch of the level to clear the level.
Got it.
And it's difficult as hell because in the later levels, you're having to jump. You're having to like avoid things. You're having to like get out of the way before like things are going back and forth. It's still a really tough game. It's probably still, that's on my bucket list. Like I've got to find a way to beat that game, even with an emulator and being able to save it and restart it when I die. I still can't clear the last level. It's that difficult because then there's a time limit too.
Oh geez. Oh, so we're about to hit on midnight, so should we jump into Raw, or what do you guys think?
I mean, Matt and I can, if you want to go to bed, Raj, Matt and I will talk about video game all night.
Go on and on, but we need to have this conversation again, though.
Yes.
Yeah.
This isn't one and done.
I'll tease it. Tom McCoskey's saying, did anyone have the game genie?
Yes. Yes. Yes, I did. I cheated, but yes, I did.
Some people might say I'm part of the reason why you were able to buy the game genie in the U.S. But that's a story for another time.
Are you all watching all of these amazing Easter eggs Glenn is giving us? Please tell me your video thing or taking screenshots.
I've
taken a drink every time Glenn has somehow been responsible for setting the video game systems the way they are today.
If I wasn't born, you would never play Nintendo.
I think you did tell me this.
I've told this story before. It's how I bought my first car.
Yeah, but you gotta repeat it because I don't remember the whole thing.
Yeah, I'll tell it again. We don't have time tonight. It's a bit of a long story, but
I bought it.
Yeah, but I was involved in the trial. I was an expert witness in the trial of Nintendo versus Galoob Toys.
How old were we when that came out?
Well, I was 15 when I was in the trial, so that would have been like 91.
I mean, we're all the same age.
I was still playing Nintendo.
Yeah.
I got it when it came out.
Interesting.
Yeah. But anyhow, so we'll tell that another time. But yes, Raj, let's talk about Monday Night Raw instead.
Hey, Survivor Series, go home. So people say that the Survivor Series is an A show. Do you guys buy that? Do you guys buy that Survivor Series is an A show?
Not anymore, no.
No.
I used to.
Yeah, back in the day, yeah. When it was a... those were the only times you would see the top stars, like, you know.
Yeah, you'd see Goldberg beat Triple H for the World Heavyweight Championship, for example. Like, you'd see big things happen.
Yeah.
But no, Money in the Bank stole its thunder a long time ago.
I think Money in the Bank Elimination Chamber, because those matches have stakes. And so people legitimately care who wins. Whereas with this, it doesn't matter who wins.
But that being said, the 2 years where we had Raw versus SmackDown and Becky with the broken nose, that year mattered. And then the NXT year mattered.
I don't know if it mattered.
I thought it did.
Dude, the NXT. Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
Because it didn't mean anything the following week. No, everything was still back to where it was.
Okay.
It's the Dragon rights. NXT came in there and kicked ass. And he was like, yeah,
I
told you.
Yeah, I don't even think they mentioned it on TV after like the second week. Right?
But it was like. But if you're a WWE fan who watches all three brands, that was like our Avengers Endgame or Infinity War having everything come together.
I really did feel like that. I sound like a complete nerd. I really did, though. I was stoked that NXT was able to beat them. And then some of the matchups that were created out of that.
It was cool.
You know what I mean? Because they weren't bringing them up a lot.
But, you know, like Royal Rumble, that sets off a chain of events that, that goes to WrestleMania. Yes.
Still think that's a hallmark pay-per-view, correct?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Royal Rumble, for sure.
Royal Rumble. It's WrestleMania, Royal Rumble, SummerSlam, right? In my opinion, in that order.
SummerSlam and even anymore?
Yeah, I think so, because you still have the second biggest world title match of the year, usually, on SummerSlam.
Who did we have this past SummerSlam?
It was Roman and Jey Uso. But it was kind of the climax of the Bloodline storyline. I feel like the Bloodline storyline is kind of dissipating.
Waning? It's definitely waning, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and that's... Okay, so my beef with Survivor Series this year is it's not the Bloodline versus Judgment Day. Like, in my mind, that's the biggest thing WWE could do for that. Instead, we're getting a makeshift team against Judgment Day, which is okay, but the Bloodline, I mean, it's just... They've really fumbled this with Roman being gone. Like, Paul Heyman cannot be the star of the Bloodline, which they've made him. It's like the Paul Heyman and Solo show.
And I don't like that.
Yeah.
But it does make it so much more special when Roman is on. Like, it feels like a big deal. Like, back in the day, when Hogan would come on TV, it felt like a huge deal.
Right. Yeah.
He was rarely on Saturdays wrestling. Hogan never wrestled Saturdays.
Never.
Very rarely. Yeah. And if you did,
you were lucky to see. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but come on, though. He's the champ, dude. That's being like, you know, my father was gone for the majority of my childhood, but that occasional weekend when he was home really meant something.
Dude, the more someone wrestles, the less special it is. Like, Seth Rollins special. You know, I mean, Seth Rollins wrestles, you know, a lot. A Seth Rollins match is not anywhere near.
Okay, but there's an in-between. And Roman could do something, but just this idea that Paul's like, oh, I'm talking to the tribal chief. He's watching at home. Like, this is just.
Right, yes. That is corny.
Silly. This is silly.
But Roman has earned it. I mean, for how long he's been on top, like in the main event picture, there's not many guys. I think the only other one is John Cena that has really worked a full-time schedule at this point.
I will semi-agree that it feels more special when he's there. Let me ask you a question. Do you think that trade-off is worth not having him there? So now that angle is really deflating.
Yeah.
A lot of heat has come off that from where that was.
It has the last couple.
Go back.
I think it's done.
Listen to me. Yeah. Go back to when Sami Zayn was in the Bloodline and they were going. Yeah. That, to me, was its highest.
Yeah.
Yeah. It peaked earlier this year for sure.
But who's left though? But yeah, who's left for Roman? Because the problem is Cody. Oh, he's gone, he comes. Okay, so that's it though. And if Cody loses again, there's no one.
He's not gonna lose.
How does the match even get set up? He's not even how does it?
I think he wins the Rumble, right? Or he wins Elimination Chamber. One of them. Yeah.
No, did he win the Rumble last year?
Yeah, he did. So I almost think you have LA Knight win the Rumble, go after Seth Rollins, and then you have Cody win Elimination Chamber.
Okay. I love all that. I'll take that. As long as LA goes on and wins the championship.
Dude, he's the guy. I don't know if he's bigger than Cody. I still think Cody is the guy to beat Roman, but LA Knight.
He is. LA Knight's right there, and they need to keep him pumping because you're only as good as your next superstar.
Yeah, strike when the iron's hot.
Speaking of which, did you guys see the video of Logan Paul trying to pawn the U.S. championship?
I have watched him on random like networks and shows and just randoms. But no, he tried to pawn it.
Well, I mean, it's clearly a skit, but he's talking to a pawn guy. And the pawn guy's like, what do you want for? He's like, $100,000. And he's like, who would I even sell this to? And he's like, I don't know, maybe Cody Rhodes or LA Knight or someone comes in here and wants to buy it.
Dude, he's putting him over. He just did it on... Fox Business. They were asking him like all these business questions. He was completely deflecting all the questions. Yeah. Smart on his part, right? But he was playing up his stuff, how he beat Rey Mysterio fair and square. He gets it. He even on his own, his brother's channel somehow popped up on my feed today because Logan was in it with the U.S. title. So I clicked on it. And even on that, he's doing skits on there, being a complete dicky cocky heel. He's playing it up great.
To your point, he's on Fox Business. Prime made $1.2 billion in sales last year. And what's he talking about? Being U.S. champion.
Yeah.
You know, like, huge. He is
so smart. So smart to put it on him.
And he is just, he loves it. You could tell, like, he's a kid in a candy store. He appreciates it.
Yes.
Much respect.
But, you know, that's,
say that, but yes.
But the, problem right now that they have is it's that if Vault or if Gunther has the title and he's not losing it anytime soon, Roman has the title, he's not losing it anytime soon.
Well, it'll be
like, where's the action? But and with Logan, that he's not losing, he shouldn't lose it anytime soon if he's really sticking around.
But that's how it should be. Title changes should be a big deal. Like when you have them change every other week, like you did back in, you know, like the Attitude Era, like they were changing all the time. It didn't mean anything when the Godfather title, when the Intercontinental title, it wasn't like he was elevated like you see Gunther.
So like usually when somebody wins the Intercontinental, the coolest part about that, a lot of wrestlers will exaggerate like, yeah, that was the workhorse title. I was a big Ricky Steamboat fan. I really loved his work. Bullshit. You're in the 1980s just like I was. You thought he had a cool thing because he breathed fire like the rest of us little kids did.
It was pretty cool.
Right? Like, we weren't watching his arm drags back when we were little kids and little boys watching
But you stuff. Weren't sitting there Come as on. A child going, that's a very good rest spot.
Yeah.
No. Really important.
Hell no.
But you were into that storyline where Macho Man dropped the bell on Steamboat's throat.
Incredibly worried about him. Yes, you're right. Because the storyline, but not the actual wrestling part.
Yeah, exactly.
So really quick, my point to this, though, is that you knew who's going to have the Intercontinental Championship. Wow, that's going to be the next big guy. That's going to be the next champion.
Yeah.
So, like, they need to get it back to that. And I think they're
kind of stopped with
Gunther.
Yeah. That kind of stopped with Warrior. Like, after that,
it
became.
Yeah, I feel it did too.
Yeah. Like, Warrior was kind of like the last who became. Or The Rock did too. Triple H. They also had the.
Oh, they redid it. They rebrought that back. You're right. Stone Cold, Triple H, Rock. Yeah, you're right.
But then
you started having Road Dogg and Godfather, and it just became, you know, Double J.
It just enhanced the talents instead of, you know,
right, being something to elevate.
The problem is, though, I don't want to watch a pay-per-view, a premium live event, where it's like, well, the tag titles might change, but everything else is just going to stay the same. You know, it's just kind of boring.
But it means that much more when it does.
Don't you guys think wrestling fans are different today where they're not watching it the way we watch it or the way we especially used to watch it? That today, it unfortunately, it is now about the moves. It is now about, unfortunately, not storyline as much. Like, that's why I don't think the ratings are what they once were, is because they have a fan base now they're catering to that are just, not WWE, really AEW and other shows as well.
Yeah.
Just about the moves, and the athleticism. And I think they're catering to the fans, go like, look, we're not stupid. We know you're not stupid. We know you know it's a work, fans. So because everybody's all in on it together, kayfabe's completely dead. So we're all going to talk like we're on the same level, that you're in the business with us. And you were sitting next to me in the locker room. I was going over my mat. Like, so the specialness of it is that's why that's completely dissipated.
I feel like with AEW... when they do focus on the stories, it works. Like when they do, you know, when they were doing MJF and Adam Cole, you could see it was really working. Like, it was having an effect on ratings and everything. And then when they get away from that and it's just match quality, you see that it's not, their ratings are falling, their attendance is down.
It all goes out of the shitter with me when they have the pressers, though, Raj. They have pressers where their heels are out there complete, unless they're smart like MJF. They just, and Christian, you have a lot, the rest of them that don't stay in character whatsoever. And so again, I just think it's, why are people really watching nowadays? I think it's, they say to be entertained. I think the newer, the younger fans, it's the moves. It's the, holy crap, did you see so-and-so hit a triple Lindy flip? The guy, oh, that's the guy from you know, name some random promotion in Japan nobody's ever heard of. Remember El Vikingo? Everyone was going bananas when he debuted.
I got a lot of shit for that one.
And when I remember it, and when I say everybody going bananas, I mean their base that's coming to the show no matter what they do. They go out in the middle ring, take a stinking dump in the middle of that ring. Their fans are still coming back. Mm. They have their money every single week, right? So
yeah,
that's what I don't get. Why not try to change and try to draw that?
And Matt, your favorite when they're trying to pop the fans with their cosplay, you know?
That is, yeah. That's always good too, you know? Like the guy that whose merch and t-shirt I just spent $19.99 on coming out worshiping a cartoon character or a video game.
Just like Ken from Street Fighter.
That's what I was talking about. Like, can you imagine if Hulk Hogan did that? Like, if Hulk Hogan came out as freaking Fat Albert.
And strangely, that would not even be the most problematic thing he's ever done.
But like, no, okay, but give me another 80s good cartoon. Garfield. No.
Yeah. You know, if Macho Man came out dressed like Magnum PI,
dude, you're the star.
People should be dressing up like you, not you dressing up like other people.
That's what I'm looking for. Yeah. Yes, that Raj, what you just said.
Yeah. You don't want, you know, Macho Man dressing up like George Jefferson. No.
Hey.
The Road Warriors doing some sick Smurfs tribute. Yeah.
Our Silver Spoons tribute.
No. I mean, that's the thing. It's like
devastated.
But I mean, the culture is definitely different now. Pop culture is really different. I mean, it's so strange.
Do you think that the fans nowadays think they're friends with these wrestlers?
Yes.
Like that's why
1000%.
I feel that too.
In fact, we've gone back on that. Okay, so here's the weird thing about social media. Sorry, Raj, let me cut you off. So as a kid, like, you know, my greatest conundrum at 10 years old was how was I going to marry both of the twins from the sitcom Double Trouble? And I was like, I'm going to come up with a plan to do this. But I, you know, we were, as children, we wrote fan letters. We had dreams and ambitions. Then we got to the Attitude Era and I was like, these are celebrities and this is us. Social media now has changed it. And I'm guilty of it too. It's like Baron Corbin's replying to Raj to what you said about never having seen Bloodsport before, you know, or I make some joke about something that's kind of like an inside joke and Sami Zayn gets it and likes it. Like, yes, we do feel more of a connection now due to social media. So I do think that that's actually been wildly successful for a lot of wrestlers. I don't know that it's ever gotten anybody the main event of Mania, but I think it's definitely helped a lot of people rise up and build a fan base.
But Zach, I think the
Zack Ryder that, still cashing a big paycheck every single week doing it.
Yeah.
But the guys that seem way larger in life right now, who do you got? Roman Reigns, right? He doesn't do that. And I feel like the more you do it, the less larger than life you feel. And
I don't know. I mean, the Rock answered me and retweeted me like a year ago.
But he's not.
He's not wrestling anymore.
That's true.
Yeah.
But yeah, Roman doesn't tweet. Roman doesn't go on Twitter.
Yeah. LA Knight doesn't. I mean, he's rarely doing that. And I feel like he kind of gets it. Like
Roman Reigns doesn't have like Instagram or nothing like that.
I mean, I think he has the accounts, but he's not like.
You're right.
Hey, there's me and my kids. No,
he's not right.
Yeah, it's not a lot of that. Right. I mean, a lot of wrestlers, it's just stuff they're supposed to promote or charity work or, you know, but it's not.
Yeah.
Interactive. You could tell, and I don't mean this as a diss at all, but I could see where some people would think it. Like you could tell who's trying to work developing a fan base by really interacting. And I don't mean to be cynical about it. Yeah, you can see how they like to give back and interact with people.
Not. I see them from a mile away with lots of them.
Yeah. But you know what though, man? I mean, to your point about Zack Ryder, like that's kind of what it takes to get over in this day and age, you know, for most people. It's like you have to show that people care. And Matt, I'm sure you think about this too. It's like you have your social following because you are on national TV watched by millions of people a week and you get to take that with you. You know what I mean? Like you still have all those followers now that you're not wrestling anymore. And if you want to promote something you're doing in Longwood, if you want to promote this podcast, like they recognize that's their value to stay in touch with their fan base. So it kind of makes sense. I mean, in fact, you could argue that if you look at the Macardona Zack Ryder playbook, maybe get on WWE, find a way to get to millions of followers, and then from there figure out how that's going to sustain you to make a living the rest of your life.
I mean, just look at Logan.
I agree with that.
And just look at Logan Paul again. You know, like
he's
not out there being like, oh, that was the hardest match of my life, or, you know, acting like it's real. But he's able to use winning the title as a way to draw engagement and, you know, and doing it beautifully. Like
He doesn't dump on it. He doesn't make me feel like an idiot for watching his video. Like I don't know how to explain it. He's doing it. He's playing it perfectly in the middle somehow.
Because I hate when wrestlers like act like when they're on social, they're like, "I'm going to get you this Thursday," and it's like,
who was that guy in AEW that like was giving me shit because I said something, and I was like, "Yeah, I was replying to your tweet where you made it sound like you were going to win a match that was pre-taped and you lost 3 days ago."
I can't remember
who it was. It's a wrestler in AEW, not a major one, but this QT happened. Yeah, it was like QT Marshall or somebody. Yeah. It was somebody that was like, "Oh, watch me go out there and win this match." And I said something, and he was like, "Screw you, you Mark." And I was like, "Yeah, you're trying to put over. You're going to win this, and we all know the result ahead of time."
Oh my god.
It's a weird era right now, but it's still fun. But I don't know. I mean, it's like, so, you know, it's like everything with social media. In a way, we're all more connected than ever, but most people just leads them to complain more and have dissatisfaction.
I mean, there's certain things in wrestling, you guys, I really enjoy watching. There's certain angles, very few, there's some wrestlers I really, really like watching. A lot of them maybe are friends, and there's that reason too. But if I'm being honest, ultimately, when I watch wrestling today, I'm watching it with the hope it goes well, that it does well, that lots of people watch this and these guys make lots of money. Like, so I watch it with a lot of hope.
I do got to say the ending of Raw tonight was pretty good with Drew McIntyre kind of, you know, shaking Rhea Ripley's hand. I thought that was a good ending because it's been the same shit for like 5 months, you know, with
It was a good cliffhanger. Makes you think.
Yeah, exactly. And so finally it's like something happened.
So they haven't been doing cliffhangers as they've been getting. Actually, there's been a few here and there, but like for years they've gone without them for so damn long. But you're right. That was a really good way to end it, I thought.
Yeah. Especially because SmackDown, they still do the cliffhangers here and there, especially with the Bloodline.
Yes.
But Raw hasn't been as much. So I thought it was a good one.
Mm-hmm.
And Drew is just awesome in this role. Him as a heel, feeling he's justified because you get where he's coming from too. Because he's not, he did get screwed over, you know, screwed over and over. And so you get his point of view. And it's like that Bret Hart 97, you know, where he's making sense. And
I'm happy to see it because I don't want to see him as a babyface again. I don't, not that I'm not into him. He looks like a million bucks. The guy's jacked, he's tall, he's great looking, he's great in the ring. He's got everything you can want to have as a main event wrestler, but it's bored because of what they've done with him as a babyface, unfortunately. So this will be good. I'm excited to see what they do with it. Way more important than my point just now, you guys and people watching right now, is how about back? It's circa 1986. Dun, 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 dun. Hogan comes out to the ring, and instead of wearing his normal yellow and red, he's dressed up as Lion-O from Thundercats.
Wait, with the blue and white?
Dad, get it? He's dressed up as another character. Isn't it so cool? No, I would back my television in, and then I would swear off wrestling for the rest of my life. Because my golden goose, my favorite Hulk Hogan, was, not being himself. You know what I mean? Being a complete like mark,
yeah. I hated when Hogan. Remember, for a little bit, he was wearing that helmet with the fist on it.
I hated it.
Ugh, it's like that's not Hogan.
It changed character, but still, it still annoyed me. I agree with you.
Yeah, it's like no, Hogan doesn't need a helmet to. Yeah,
keep it simple, Hogan. Like. You guys should have talked way louder than that for Hulk Hogan coming out with Lion-O and my dramatic thing.
Yeah, you know?
Yeah.
The Mega Powers could have done some rad Care Bears cosplay and put their emotions on their stomach. You know?
Hey, it's the Fat Albert Christmas special.
Dude,
do you remember that one?
Did you guys see
that one?
Did you guys see Nash's comment that Seth Rollins was like Macho Man?
Yeah, I saw that.
Oh my god. What the
Wait, hang on. Physically, the way he looks as well, a little bit, maybe.
But Macho Man always seemed real. Like he doesn't seem like he was acting. Whereas Rollins with his laughing and
the laugh is the like
okay, yes. But physically, if you're looking at
him, okay.
He's a very good wrestler.
Yes. But Macho Man
I don't know. Physically, yeah. I can kind of see the mustache, the hair.
But as far as the act goes.
He's much bigger than him, by the way. Much bigger than Macho
Man. It's not as good. Macho Man seemed more natural because, yeah, Seth does seem like he's forcing it a lot of the time.
Well, he's completely acting. It's not who he is in real life, right?
But Macho Man never seemed like he's acting.
Let me ask you a question. Yeah. Do you think Macho eventually became his character?
Yes.
Probably.
1,000%.
I kind of do too.
There's two
because
episodes,
his voice, he would do that with his friends. Like that's how he
two
was
episodes where he's a guest on Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew in the 90s. You can find them online. They're on YouTube. Like 2 hours of him like commenting on calls and stuff and talking. And it's like, oh yeah, he became Macho Man. Yeah. Not an act.
Yeah. Oh, Lanny Poffo said it was because of all the weed he smoked. Like that changed his voice. But I don't know. But Macho Man was the man. Like he was authentic.
So your parents didn't smarten you up, though. Be honest, guys. Your parents, like, I'll never forget this because he said boisterous in the middle of a promo. and my mom's like,
Macho.
Why? I swear to God, be boisterous. Whoever was in the video, somebody else was in it with him in a backstage segment, tag partner, makeshift tag partner, something. Maybe it was Elizabeth he yelled it to. I swear to God. And my mom was like, what? Boisterous. And my dad's like, you got to be kidding me. Like covering his head like this. And for the first time, like my dad's a huge wrestling fan, but like I felt a little silly about wrestling for a minute, right? Just for that one millisecond. And my parents going back and forth of kind of laughing at it made me think like, okay, so this dude's really over the top. They explained to me he's acting like that's really he walks around the city talking like that. I'm like, yes. And they're like, Matt, these are characters. And they had to remind me again, like 50,000 times throughout my childhood, that wrestling isn't real.
But he could improvise though.
Did you ever meet Macho Man?
I wish God, no.
I never did either. I would talk to Lanny Poffo all the time, but never met Macho Man.
Was he your favorite?
He was mine. Oh, all time.
So your posters in your room, all that crap.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, I had, I was Macho Man a few years for Halloween.
He had the coolest t-shirt in my opinion.
The pink, the purple.
Yeah. When that first came out, that was the coolest t-shirt in the whole lineup that you'd see in the magazine.
Yeah.
And he just is such a unique character. Like anytime someone does it, you know exactly who you're talking about. Like I'm not going to do Nick Jackson and you're going to be like, oh, that's Nick Jackson.
That could be any wrestler today.
That is true. Right.
Yes.
Credit to Seth.
That's right. Credit
to Seth and Roman. There are very few wrestlers that you could imitate now that people would get on the first try.
Right.
Even if you dressed like them. For Halloween, I bought a few different costumes. One was the Bray Wyatt, like the sweater, the Firefly Funhouse. I go out and my wife's like, so you got a new sweater? I'm like, no, it's supposed to be Bray Wyatt. And even with Issa, I show up on the Wink podcast and I got the sweatbands to be Huskus the Pig and I had a chocolate bar. And Issa's like, you Chad Gable? I'm like, no, it's Huskus. Like, so there's very few wrestlers you could do an impression of. I'll say LA Knight, Seth, but there's not enough catchphrases anymore. So maybe these guys have it figured out. This is where LA Knight has it dialed in. He knows.
Yes.
Yeah has taken over. Like that's become the new woo. You know, like when I go to AEW now, you know, that's what they're saying. They're doing the they're not doing woo anymore.
Wait, what? At AEW they're chanting
after the shows they're doing the
at AEW.
At AEW, yeah.
Interesting.
But I think Yeet has become like there's very few
that's gonna
I mean, like a piece
is
of
Yeet, is that a Usos thing or is that a general pop culture thing?
The Usos appropriated it from general pop culture. But I mean, but look how much wrestling just kind of took something that was going on and made it their own. I was going to say, though, a piece of me died when I saw Chad Gable doing the shoosh thing. But you know what? At least he's got a catchphrase now.
No one's... He tried something and, you know, it does work when he does do it.
It's not Shorty G.
Yeah, thank God.
Yeah. I think, but yeah, you need something. Sami Zayn briefly had the my dog thing that kind of he caught on, but yeah, it is weird.
When he had, wait. He had, what do you call it? Usy.
Usy, yes, Usy was the thing. Doesn't work anymore. He can't really.
They really ruined an opportunity with that. They should have let that just, in my opinion, just
I know
more.
And they had that five that they did.
Man, that would have been. I wish they would have kept going with Sammy in the Bloodline. I really do. Because it was so funny. It was
great.
And it was great, but I'm glad that Sammy didn't beat Roman. Like so many people wanted Sammy to beat Roman for the title. And Sammy is over in the storyline, but outside of the storyline, he's
okay,
not.
But he's not. But the reason you didn't want him to win is because you don't think he's a champion, or two, is because you want it to be Cody, correct? Cody.
Well, I just don't
somebody
think
beat Roman, you want it to be Cody.
You want it to be someone who can legitimately be the face of the company.
I mean, Sammy would be an interesting choice, but I don't know that.
I love Sammy, but I just don't think outside of that storyline, like once he's feuding with people outside the bloodline, I don't think it has that interest that Roman versus other people has.
No, when you say that, is because of his physicality? Do you say that because of that? His look?
No. I just think in general, like, it's not like Cody. Like Cody doesn't need to be feuding with the bloodline to be a main, you know, like his feuds are still main event.
Because today's very different. These guys don't have to be bodybuilder, muscular.
No. Muscular. I mean, Cody's not. I mean, he's in shape.
He's in good shape. Sure. He's in very good shape.
Yeah.
I think
if
Sammy shaved and cut his hair again so he didn't look like Captain Caveman, I do think he could legitimately be one of the company's top guys. Yeah, I mean, he's handsome when he cleans up.
He's a great interview. He's a
perfect person. Very thoughtful. Out
there in interviews and make the company look good.
Yeah.
I mean, he is one of the top guys, but there is a...
You know
what I mean.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, with Cody, it'll be interesting. I think the bigger problem is there's only so many people that are in the main event scene right now. This is the problem with Roman having run through everybody, because it's like, okay, great. You're going to have Cody, LA Knight, Gunther, Seth Rollins.
No more Drew.
Yeah, like who's gonna and Drew, I love Drew McIntyre, but Drew when he was champion, that wasn't setting the world on fire.
He's gonna be a heel.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's a great heel. Yeah. But it just, you know, Roman shouldn't lose just because it's his time to, you know, like it's his turn to lose. He should lose when it's right. And you gotta get the right guy who's really on fire. And, you know, if Cody loses steam, he shouldn't beat Roman. You know, we'll see where he is at Mania. But
do you think that's fair to make a guy go 2 years with their crappy ass writing being what is the barometer on getting that guy super red hot, like you're saying? Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's on the talent, but it's also on the writers to set a matchup where this guy beats this guy. That still has to happen with a Ben.
Yeah.
And that helps get guys over. And I hate when creative or former writers try to get away from saying that it's important if somebody wins or loses. It absolutely is when you're crescendoing, favorite word, right, Glenn? Going up, rather, on their march to becoming some sort of champion.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I agree 100%. And I think... But I think they've been doing a good job with Cody. You know, I do kind of think if he would have beaten Roman at this last Mania, that fans would have probably turned on him. And I think by having him do more of a chase, it's going to mean that much more when he finally wins it.
I do. Yes, I agree. I just, this stupid stuff they have him doing, they got to be careful with him buddying up with this person and them being in a buddy cop movie the next week with somebody else. Like they got, like, that's corny.
He's kind of Sting. He's like 1990s Sting.
Yeah.
No, I think Cody was, when Cody came back and it's, and everyone was like, oh, he's, Sammy's not going to beat him because Cody's going to beat him. I think Cody seemed at the double S tier of the highest level of WWE. And now I think he's down. He's top tier, but he's not at the highest tier.
A little bit below where. Yeah.
Because I mean, Matt, you've talked about this before. Like, sometimes who you're competing against and who you're sharing segments with, like, it can rub off on you in a good way or a bad way, isn't to say that, you know, Jey Uso or Sami Zayn or these guys are lesser, but it's just that it takes away from Cody's unique specialness as a single superstar.
Well, I think they're in a holding period right now too, because Raw, you know, in the fall, they're just like killing time until they get to Rumble season, right? Like, there's
so
like
that's
no.
That's what I'm talking about. So, what do you do with Cody? That's what I'm saying about the risk of waiting 2 years of a guy that you're supposed to be doing this with. Yeah, you could do a little bit of this here, then go back up again, but you cannot do this with. And
so, I kind of feel like he's risk. This right now. And then come January,
not for too long. You cannot expect the fans to come along with this going with plateauing for too long, though.
Yeah, no, I agree. But
especially LA Knight breathing down his throat.
Yeah, that's the other problem. It's that when someone else gets super hot. I thought it was weird he didn't win the World Heavyweight Championship for Cody, but I get because it'll be more special when he beats Roman. But I would have thought that was his consolation belt.
What you mean? He beat Seth Rollins. You mean?
Yeah, I thought he would be the champion of Raw, and that.
Yes, when they created it, I did too. Why did they do that?
I think I think Cody beating Roman is the story.
And so yeah, I think because it
could have been champion versus champion. I don't know.
Yeah, but they think it'll mean more if we wait because he's not winning the Intercontinental Championship. Like,
I mean, he had the tag belt, and that was it.
Yeah, which doesn't, and that was such a hot potato. Not a real belt. But they got to split those up. It's ridiculous right now to have one set of belts across both brands. It makes the tag division so irrelevant.
Yeah.
We'll see. Survivor Series will be interesting.
Yeah.
Anything else before we wrap this up? Because it's almost, or it's 12:30 on the East Coast.
Yeah. Hopefully you fans out there have been watching my boy Wembanyama rip up the NBA. Put 38 on Kevin Durant's ass. But other than that, hope you all have a great night.
Yes. And please take a second to like and subscribe. It definitely helps us out tremendously. You know, we're still new. We've just started this. This is our 11th episode. So the likes and subscribes really helps us out with the YouTube algorithm. So please take a second. We really appreciate it. And we'll be back.
Yeah. Next week. Follow Matt BP, Matt Morgan, Rogers at The Raj Geary. I'm Matt Kleiner Rubenstein. Have a great week, everyone. We'll catch you back here next time on Gigantic Pop. Take care.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.